In our introduction, based on the Rambam, we came up with four categories of Zvachim, and we'd like to go through each one of those categories one by one. The first category is Ola, and we want to point out from the get-go that an Ola is what's called Kodshei Kodshim, and we'll talk about Kodshim Kalim when we get to Shlomim, but now we're dealing with Ola. Now, Ola is a unique carbon within the constellation of Kodshei Kodshim because it's the only carbon, it's the only category that allows you to give a carbon in Neder or Nedava. I can voluntarily bring a carbon Ola. That's not true neither for Chatos nor for Osham. Again, when we get to Shlomim, that's Kodshim Kalim, then we have a different concept of Nedava. But right now, in Kodshei Kodshim, we have an exclusive rights to Nedarim Nedavis for a Karban Ola. Now, what is exactly the difference between a Neder and a Nedava? Neder is called Hare Olai Ola. And it's a personal obligation, and it's a Chovas Gavra. I obligate myself to bring a carbon ola. Which animal? It doesn't matter. I'll bring an animal, and I guarantee you that I'll fulfill my obligation. That's called a neder. A nedava, on the other hand, is when he has an animal in front of him, and he points to the animal, and he says, Hare zu ola. The difference is going to be, if the animal gets lost, does he have to replace it? If it's a neder, he took on an obligation, and he has to fulfill that obligation. Come high or water. In other words, it doesn't matter which animal he brings. But if he said, Hare zu ola, then his obligation is limited exclusively to this particular animal. If this animal is gone, he's potur. Now, ola divides up into two categories. One category is what's called a chovas yachid. So, for example, in the case of mitzora, just giving one example, after the mitzora undergoes his process of purification, and he does his tefillah biyom hashmini, he goes to the mikvah, then he has to bring a carbon ola. That's a carbon yachid, but it's also a carbon chova. Fine. Because, again, if you talk about a neder and a dava, that's a carbon yachid. I took upon myself a neder to bring an ola. But it's not obligatory. Now we're talking about a case of an obligatory personal chovas yachid of an ola. So it's not a carbon nedava, it's a carbon chova, but it's a carbon yachid. Now we have another category of ola, which is called a nidvas tzibur. Now this is really radical because we never had a carbon tzibur that could be voluntary. But in the case of a nedava, if most of the community agrees to accept upon themselves voluntarily to bring a carbon ola, that becomes a nedavas hatzibur. And we will collect the monies from the community. Everybody in the community, or at least most of the community, will contribute to this, the purchase of this ola. And we have what's called machtsa shekel. And we bring the carbon ola. And it's an ola satzibur haba'a bin nedava. Now, what's also very special about a carbon ola, let's just again review. An ola is ba'a bin nedava. We distinguish between a neder and a nedava. A neder is Hare Alai, a nedava is Hare Zu. We also said that in the case of a carbon nedava, with regard to a carbon ola, we have something very unique called a nidvas hatzibur. The nedava is that of the entire tzibur. We're going to collect from machtsa shekel in order to purchase the carbon, and it's an ola hatzibur, but it's a nedava. We have a case of ola, which is a chova, even though it's a carbon yachid. So we're not talking about a tamid that's brought by the tzibur and it's obligatory on the tzibur on a daily basis, twice a day. We're now talking about a case where an individual came forward and he took a nedava. But not only that, we can have a case where an individual is chayav in a carbon ola, and it's an oles yachid bechova, and we gave an example of a za. Another feature of carbon ola is that it's baba oaf. Now we're going to see that shlomim, for example, cannot be an oaf. It's only one of the three categories of behema that we spoke about, but not ba'ov. There are two categories of ov. But in the case of a nedava, or a neder for that matter, of an ola, he can take upon himself a commitment to bring this karmon from an ov. So for example, a person says, Hare alai kan, or ken, for an ola. Ken means a group of two birds, either the Shnei Torim or Shnei B'nai Yonah. He could never bring, as a Nedava, one bird. A bird, Karbon, is always a pair, so he has to bring a pair. However, he says, Yochol isnadev olindar mitchila ben Yonah Echad Otar Echad. It seems like he can have a combination of two types of birds. Oh, so what is this case that we're dealing with? So this is called the case of a Zav after Tevil that we mentioned before. He will bring an O for an Ola on Yom HaShmini. So this is not a Nedava, this is a Chova, and it seems that he can bring it from one bird. Okay, let's get to the second category called a Chatos. Chatos, like Ola, is Kodesh Kadoshu. However, Chatos subdivides into two fundamentally different types of Karbon Chatos. One is called a Chatos Chitzona, and the other is called a Chatos Pnimis. The Chatos Chitzona means that we bring the Emurim on the Mizbeach, and then afterwards the Basar is eaten by the Kohanim. In the case of a Chatas Pnimis, after the Emurim are brought on the Mizbeach, the Basar of a Chatas Pnimis is Nisraf, it has to be burnt outside of Yerushalayim. Then we have something called Chatas Ha'of. So just like we said earlier, that in the case of a carbonola, you can have a carbonola from an oaf, so too you can have a chatas ha'oaf. And there are special dinim that apply to a chatas ha'oaf. Now, chatas does not lend itself to an adava. There's no such thing as a voluntary carbon chatas. It's only a chovas kapara, which arises and is generated by a sin, by a chet. There is a chovas yachid in chatos. Is also a chovas tzibur in chatos. When the chatos comes as a chovas yachid, then it could be either an animal or an oaf. And we'll talk about also a chovas chatos shel tzibur. Now, we mentioned before that there's a chatos chitzona. And the reason why it's called chitzona is because there is what's called a sprinkling of dam on the mizbeach hachitzon. In the case of chatas pnimis, the hazah, the sprinkling of the dam, is on the mizbeach hapnimi, and it has to be in a specific place inside the kodesh, inside the heichal. It's got to be keneged haparoches, and there are chatos pnimius, where the hazos hadam is in the kodesh kadoshim, between what's called the Badi Aaron. And another term that's used to describe the chatos pnimius is called chatos hanisrefes, and that's because we said that the basar after haktaras imurim is burnt outside of Yerushalayim. Chatos chitzona is either a chovas yachid or a chovas tzibur. A chovas yachid would be a case where a person violates a lotas hashiyesh bizdono kares bishogeg, and he's mafresh a behema lachatos, And he points to the animal and he says, Arezu lechatus. That's a chovas yochid. What's a chovas tzibur? A chovas tzibur are on the regalim and the Rashi Chadashim. Before they brought the Karban Musaf, they bring what's called a sa'ir lechatus. And that sa'ir lechatus is a chova, but it's a chovas tzibur. Now, chatos pnimis is classically a chovas tzibur. Is there such a thing as a chatos pnimis, which is a chovas yachid? The answer is yes. Here's a case where a kohen who had mashicha gave a ruling, issued a hora, to violate what turns out to be an iser, which, had you violated it b'shogeg, you'd be chayv a chatos. And he himself followed suit and implemented his own ruling. That's called asal pi atzmo. And he has to bring what's called a par kohen mashiach. And that's a case of a chatos pnimis, which is ba b'chovas yochid. Chovas tzibur, on the other hand, is when Sanhedrin gives a mistaken ruling, and it's a ruling of a losase, of the type that if he had violated that isa b'shogeg, he would bring a chatos chitzona. But now, if an entire shevet in Israel, based on the hora of Sanhedrin, violates an iser kareis or shogeg b'chatos, then the tzibur is obligated to bring a chatos pnimis. Now, we said before that a chatos could come both from an animal or an oaf. What's the case of a chatos, an oaf? That's a case which is a zav, li'achar shetoval. On the eighth day, he brings an oaf l'chatos. And there's another case of chatos, an oaf. And that is a case of chatos ofa bala sofek. A person is in a sofek, whether he's a zav or he's not a zav. He brings an oaf as a chatos misofek. Interesting. Usually we talk about an osham misofek. Now we're talking about a chatos oaf misofek in a case of a sofek zav. And this chatos is not eaten. It's the only chatos that cannot be eaten because it has the status of a korban anisraf, because there's a suffix and we don't know whether or not he's really obligated in this korban, therefore it's burnt. And this leads us to the third category of zvachim, which is called an asham. Asham, like ola and chatos kodesh kadoshim, which means that the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach, the basar is necha l'kohanim, there's me'ila. Now, an asham like a chatos is eino ba b'neder u'b'nedava, it's only a chovas kapar for a chet. It's only a chovas yachid, there's no such entity as an asham shel tzibur, and it's only brought from a behemah. Now, what's the chovas yachid that generates an obligation to bring an asham? So first of all, we have what's called asham me'ilos, which means that he was moel b'kodshei Hashem, and he used something that was hegdesh for his own personal benefits, his own purposes, and he had an anah that's worth on the market a shava pruta. He has to bring what's called an asham me'ilos. Now, in the korban asham, there's something unique that doesn't apply to a chatas, and that is that a korban asham is a korban shebal asofek. He doesn't know whether he violated inadvertently b'shogeg an iser that would generate a chiyuv chatas. He brings an asham, which is called an asham toli. So we have an asham me'ilos, which is brought when we definitely know that he was moel behegdesh, a shava pruta's worth, and we have now a Korban Asham, which is Baal HaSafek, where he doesn't know if he violated this Isur inadvertently or not, and that's called an Asham Tolu. And finally, to round off the discussion, we have a Shlomim. Shlomim, 99% is Kodshim Kalim. And that means because it's Shalmei Yachid. And again, we burn the Emurim, and the Basar is eaten by the Bailim in this case, not necessarily by the Kohanim. However, there's one exception to this rule, and that's called Kivse Atzeres, which we mentioned in the Rambam, is a Korban Tzibur, and it's Shalmei Tzibur. It's a Korban Shlomo of the Tzibur. That's almost antithetical, but in this case of Kivse Atzeres, we have it. And the status of Kivse Atzeres, insofar as it is a Korban Tzibur, is Kodshei Kodshim. And therefore you burn the Emurim on the Mizbeach, and the Basar is Nechal L'Kohanim, and not L'Yisraelim like Kodshim Kal. Shlomim, like Ola, is Ba B'Neder U'B'Nedava. And it's a Korban that has both a Chova category and a Nedava category. However, in Neder Nedava, we're talking about a Yachid. There's no such thing as a Korban Nedava Shalat Tzibur. That was unique to the case of an Ola, but not in the case of Shlomim. And a Korban Shlomim can only be brought from a Behema and not from an Oaf. And then again, we have a Korban Chova in the case of Shalmei Tzibur. We have a Korban Nedava in the case of Shlomim of Neder Nedava. And we have a Neder Nedava B'Yachid, right? A person says, Harei Elai Shlomim. And that's called a Nidvas Yachid. And he could also say Harezu, which is a Nedava, and he's Magdish Behema for Shlom. So that's Chovas Yochid. Now, there's also a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel on the Yontif Rishon, and in that case, he has a Chovas Yochid. For example, he brings what's called Shalmei Chagiga. And again, as we said before, there's a Chovas Tzibur of Shalmei Tzibur only on Chagashvuos. And that's the Kvasim that we spoke about, the Kivse Atzeres. Now, there's an expanded definition of Shlomim that includes, number one, a Korban Todah. Number two, it includes a Bechar. Number three, it includes a Maser Behema Karbon and a Karbon Pesach. These are all Kodshim Kalim, like Shlomim. Now, Karbon Todah is very unique because we bring 40 Lacham and 40 Chalas together with the Karbon. And Bechar is an animal that's Tahora, and it's Chulin, and the mother gave birth to a Zachar Tamim, which means a male animal that has no blemishes, with Makriv, such a Bechar on the Mizbeach as a Shlomim. Maser means that he has an Eder, a full corral of many, many animals, and every tenth animal that leaves the corral is designated as Maser. And Pesach, of course, is the Akrova on the 14th of Nisan, and we eat it on the night of the 15th of Nisan. So that's what we wanted to add to our overview of Kodshim for today. And now, Be'ezer Hashem, we go back to Pesachim Daf Nun Ches and the Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, after interpreting this machlokes according to Abaye. And you may recall that according to Abaye, in the case of Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan on Shabbos, Rabbi Shmuel says you bring the Karban Tamid at Sheva Umechtza, and Rabbi Akiva says Sheish Vamechtza. Maskif Le Rava, this is where Rava attacks Abaye. And again, keep in mind that the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva according to Abaye revolves around the Bazichin. As we discussed at great length yesterday, the reason why Rabbi Yishmael will delay the Tamid to Sheva Vachetzi on Shabbos is because we have to bring the Musafim first, and then only can we get to the Bazichin, and that's going to take an extra hour. Hence, we delay the Karban Tamid, according to Rabbi Shmuel, for an extra hour to Sheva Umechtza. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds that Bazichin Kodmin Limusafim, and therefore, if the Musafim are going to be brought at the 11th hour, meaning 11 o'clock, I shouldn't call it the 11th hour, it's the 6th hour, and the Bazichin were already brought at 10 o'clock in the 4th hour, then the coast is clear, says Rabbi Akiva, to bring the Karban Tamid at the earliest possible time, which is Sheish Umechtza. We had a discussion about why we'd assume, like Rabbi Shmuel, that the Bezichin come after the Karban Pesach. And we had a discussion as to why Rabbi Akiva considers that the Bezichin should come before the Karban Pesach. I'm sorry, if I said Karban Pesach, I meant to say Musafim, slip of the tongue. And this is all based on the fact that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, since the word Yom appears twice, not once, in the Parsha of Bazichin. In Musaf, it only appears once. And therefore, Yom is something to delay and postpone the Karban. So in the case of Musaf, we're going to delay the Karban during the Boker to the last hour of the Boker. In the case of Bazichin, says Rabbi Shmuel, since it says by Yom, a second time, Yom indicates that we delay it further, another hour, and we're going to bring the Bazichin after the Musafim. Hence, we understand Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Akiva, Lishitaso, has a Gzeres Shava between Lechem Aponim and Minchas Chavitin. Minchas Chavitin by the Kohen Gadol is brought daily after the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. That's the first Minchas Chavitin of the day for the Kohen Gadol. We'll bring another one in the evening, but there's a Gzeir Shava Chuka Chuka that tells me that just like the Minchas Chavitim is brought early in the morning, following the Tamid Shel Shachar, so too the Lechem Aponim is early. In Lechem Aponim, we're talking about the Bazichin and the Levona, and that's Mukhtar Agav Mizbech in an early hour before the Musafim, which come at the end of the morning. So now we're up to Maskif Le Rava. Let's just make sure we're all on the same page. We're on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, and we're four lines down in the wide lines. Maskif Le Rava. What's Rava's objection to Abaye? Midi, does it say? Midi means, does it say? Meaning, in the language of the Braisa, Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Akiva is problematic, because the whole thrust of Rabbi Akiva in Abaye's frame of reference to set up the time for the Shechitas HaTamid as Sheish Vachetzi, the earliest time, is that he compares Erev Pesach Chalios B'Shabbos to Erev Pesach Shechal B'Erev Shabbos, to the case of Friday. Where does it say that in the Braisa? The Braisa says, Kisiduro B'Erev Pesach, no mention of Erev Shabbos. Maskif La Rava Midi, does it say in the Braisa? Do you have a different text in the Braisa, if you want to be facetious about it? Rabbi Akiva, Kisiduro B'Erev Pesach Shechal Lios B'Shabbos? That he's comparing the Zman of the Tamid, the Shechitas HaTamid, in a case of the 14th of Nisan on Shabbos to the case where the 14th of Nisan is on a Friday, where does he mention anything about Friday? When he says, Kisiduro Be'erev Shabbos, he doesn't compare it to Erev Pesach Shal Chalios Be'erev Pesach Chalios Be'erev Shabbos. So that basically Rav has no problem with Abai's Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Yishmael, according to Abai, is talking about Sheva Vachetzi. And Sheva Vachetzi could fit beautifully into the language of Rabbi Yishmael, because it says Kisiduro Bimos Hachol. Now we know that if Erev Pesach falls on a weekday, not on Shabbos, then the Korban Tamid is brought at Sheva Umechza. So if Rabbi Akiva wants to say that even if Erev Pesach is not on Chol, the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, we bring the Korban at that same time, namely at Sheva Vachetzi, then the language of Rabbi Shmuel is beautiful. It's on target. Kisiduro bechol, meaning Erev Pesach Shchalias bechol, kach siduro be'erev Pesach b'Shabbos. And that's Sheva Vachetzi. But in Rabbi Akiva, who says that Kisiduro be Erev Pesach, where is there any indication that he's talking about Erev Pesach Shechalios be Erev Shabbos? El Amar Rava. So now Rava is compelled to offer an alternative interpretation of the Braisa and the Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And he says the following, El Amar Rava Hachi Kamar. Here's how we have to interpret the Braisa. First we start with Rabbi Shmuel, Kisiduro Bechol, Di Alma, Kach Sidur B'Shabbos Be'erev Pesach, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're going to back to Chol Di Alma. In other words, on 364 days out of the calendar year, the Tamid is brought at Shmona Vachetzi. And now, even though it's Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shalios B'Shabbos, we're going to bring the Karban at the same Shmona Mechta as if it were a day of Chol. Now, that's a Pella, because in the case of Chol, we want to delay the process of bringing the Korban Pesach, and hence the process of Shechitas HaTamid, because of the volume of Nedarim and Nedavos. Now we're talking about Shabbos. On Shabbos there are no Nedarim and Nedavos. And if that be the case, there's nothing motivating you to delay the Korban Tamid, and therefore hence delay the Korban Pesach. On the contrary, we should make the Korban Tamid earlier so that we can bring the Korban Pesach and have plenty of time, many hours for the Akrovas at Korban Pesach, with a great volume of Pesachim. So that, although I must admit that Rava's reading of Rabbi Shmuel could be acceptable, Kisidura B'chol Di Alma, like any weekday, 364 days out of the year, which is Shmona Vachetzi, is Kach Siduro B'Shabbos Be'erev Pesach. If the 14th of Nisan is on a Shabbos, we will set up the Tamid at 8:30 at Shmona Vachetzi. But I don't understand the logic of it, unless we introduce the concept of uniform, of equalizing. And we want to equalize Shabbos on Be'erev Pesach with the rest of the year. And if the rest of the year you bring the Korban Tamid at Shmona Vachetzi, that's what we're going to do on Shabbos on Yudal B'Nisan. Shabbos for Yudal B'Nisan is not going to stand there as a lone soldier, and it's the only Korban, where it's only day of the year when it's 14th of Nisan and Shabbos, that we're going to bring the Korban Tamid at an earlier time. And, you know, once you make that breakthrough, people are going to think, well, you see that the Chachamim are not concerned about bringing the Talmud earlier. They're going to be tempted to bring the Talmud earlier even on a weekday. In which case, we're in trouble because of the Nedarim and Nedavos issue. So that's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kesiduro, B'Erev Shabbat, B'Erev Pesach, Bein Bechol, Bein V'Shabbos. I'm sorry, I skipped something. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kesiduro, Bechol, Erev Pesach. In other words, the time of the Shechitas HaTamid on Erev Pesach is not going to be equated to Yom Chol, but rather Kisiduro b'Erev Pesach. So forget the Yom Chol, the 364 days of the year. Let's talk about the 14th of Nisan. Well, if the 14th of Nisan is on a Chol, on a weekday, the Mishnah establishes that the Talmud is brought at Sheva Umechza. Now, the 14th of Nisan is not on a Chol, but it's on Shabbos. We're going to bring the Karban Talmud at the same Sheva Umechza that we would bring if had it been the 14th of Nisan on a weekday. And in effect, Rabbi Akiva's logic is that why not compare Erev Pesach to Erev Pesach? Meaning, come up with one uniform zman of the Talmud on Erev Pesach. So if Erev Pesach is on a chol, we're going to bring the carbon at Shevu Mechza, 1 hour earlier, and that's because of the massive amount of carbon psachim, carbon psachim. So too, if Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, once again, we're going to bring the carbon at Shevu Mechza. And that's because of the massive amount of psachim that we have to bring. The only thing we don't understand in Rabbi Akiva is, why does he equate Erev Pesach and equating Chol and Shabbos? I understand if Erev Pesach is on a weekday and on a Chol, then I need to postpone the Karban Talmud from Sheshu Mechza to Sheva Mechza for the sake of Nedarim and Nedavos. But if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, why do you insist on the same Sheva Vachetzi? Why not make it an hour earlier since we don't have Nedarim and Nedavos? So the Gemara says, V'maykom Miflagi, what is the subject of the machlokas? How do you analyze it? Why is it that Rabbi Shmuel, in a case of Erev Pesach b'Shabbos, wants to delay the Karban Talmud to Shmoneh V'Chetzi, which, as we said, is counterintuitive, because for the sake of all the psachim, we should be makdim and not ma'acher. And Rabbi Akiva, from his perspective, is going to equate Erev Pesach b'chol with Erev Pesach b'Shabbos. Okay, so that we explained before. So the Gemara says, "B'michmar bisra kom miflegi." Rabbi Shmuel savar chayshina b'michmar bisra. Rabbi Akiva savar lo chayshinan b'michmar bisra. So first of all, what does the word michmar mean? Michmar means chimum. If you leave meat around and it's not refrigerated, it gets hot. And therefore it gets spoiled very quickly. Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different interpretation of the word michmar. He says it means kimush v'hitkatzvut, hiskatkavtsut. It gets shriveled up. And he proves it from the case called Komer Shel Zeisin. Okay, fine. Now, let's see what Rabbi Shmuel is afraid of. The meat is going to spoil. The meat of the Karban Pesach will spoil. Why will it spoil? Because you, Rabbi Akiva, are going to start the process of the Pesachim earlier, an hour earlier. Well, we have a long time until we eat the basar of the Korban Pesach, which is the next night. Hours and hours are going to pass, and the meat is spoiling. So what do you mean the meat is spoiling? We have something called Hadochas Hakirbayim. And this is formalized in a Mishnah later on Daf Samach Dalet. Hadochas Hakirbayim means that we clear off the innards of the meat of the korban. And that is meant to guarantee that the meat won't spoil. Ah, says Rabbi Shmuel, now we're talking about a case of Erev Shabbos, of Erev Pesach, I meant to say, Shechalios B'Shabbos. Can we do the Hadochas HaBosor? No way, no how. The Mishnah establishes on Daf Samach Daled that on Shabbos we don't do Hadochas HaBosor. We don't do Tzlias HaBosor. Okay, that's one of the 39 Melechas, that's Melechas Bishul Tzlia. But we don't even do Hadochas HaShirayim. Why not? Because of another Melecha, which is called Borer. And again, all this is necessary to prepare the basar for achila, that's called Tzorchei Hedjot, and it doesn't override the Shabbos. If it doesn't override the Shabbos, then in a case where the 14th of Nisan overrides with Shabbos, we won't have a possibility of Hadochas HaBosar, which guarantees that the basar will stay a long time and it won't spoil. And therefore, we have to worry about Michmar Basar in a case where the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos. Hence, Rabbi Shmuel is going to take the position that let's delay the whole process, even though on the one hand we're foregoing that luxury of having so much time to guarantee that we do all the avodah for all the myriads of Korbanos Pesachim. But on the other hand, we gain something very, very important by delaying the process of Hakrovas Pesach on Shabbos of Erev Pesach, because now we're going to limit the amount of the hours that will pass between the Avodas HaKorban and the Hadochas HaBosar. The Hadochas HaBosar will take place immediately with nightfall, Motzi Shabbos, you make Avdolah, immediately run to do Hadochas HaBosar, and you can still salvage the Bosar before it becomes spoiled. And how so? Because you delayed the process of Korban Pesach. Rabbos say the sugya, you know, it's what I call the plot grows thicker. You know, we always assumed that in the case of Shabbos on Yudal B'Nisan, all the push is to bring the Korban Tamid earlier because there's no Nedar M'Nedavos. Is there any reason on Shabbos that we should postpone the Korban Tamid? Okay, I understand if it's Erev Shabbos, if it's a Friday, we said that you want to make it earlier as possible. Fine. That I understand. That has to do with Tzlias HaBosar. But could it be that because it's Shabbos, therefore I want to delay and postpone the Korban Tamid? We always said the Shabbos is a reason without Nedar M'Nedavos to make it earlier. And let's go back to the original Sheish U'Mechtza. Comes along Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rav's presentation, and he says, Shmona v'chetzi. Kisiduro b'chol. And the answer is that actually there's a reason and a push to delay the Korban Tamid, and therefore to minimize the time between the Shechitas HaPesach and the nightfall, to avoid the terrible catastrophe of Michmar Basar, of the meat becoming spoiled. Hence, Rabbi Shmuel says, we will bring the Tamid at Shmona Vachetzi. Now, all this is based on the Mishnah later on Daf Samach Daled, that Hadochas HaKirayim Eino Docha HaShavos. Now, Tosvis, later on, it's not here, but on Daf Samach He, seems to reject Rashi. And the Michmar Basar issue here that we're addressing has nothing to do with the fact that Adochas HaKirbayim is not Docha Shabbos. And I've mentioned to you on many occasions in the past the Tzlach, otherwise known as the Nod B'Yehuda, and he is going to analyze why Tosfos has a problem with Rashi. And he says the following. Hatam shemiyanu atos. Miyanu means they refused. Biperusho shal Rashi. Hu mishum shegam bishar erev Pesach shechol. Shechal bimos hachol. Lo hayut solim mibojom ele balayla. Brilliant. Says the Nod B'Yehuda. Let's take 364 days out of the year. Chol B'Yom. The Tamid was brought at Shmona V'Chetzi. Just one second. I'm sorry. We'll get to that a little bit later. I jumped the gun. Let's talk about the case of Erev Pesach B'Mos HaChol. So I'm sorry, we're still talking about the 14th of Nisan. I made a mistake when I said 364 days. Okay, so now the 14th of Nisan is on a Sunday, Lomar Zogi. And in such a case, when are we going to shecht the Tamid? It's going to be at Sheva Chetz. When is the Tzlias HaBosa going to take place? Well, if it's Chol, you and I might have assumed that the Tzliya could take place on that very day of Erev Pesach. Says Nod B'Yehuda, no. The Tzliya took place on the 15th of Nisan at night. Now that means that the time from the Shechitas HaTamid, which was at Sheva V'Chetzi, and the Psachim were brought at the end of that period of time, an hour later, that's a long haul, a long period of time, until they did the Tzlias HaBosar, because the Tzlias HaBosar was on the 15th, right before the Mitzvah of Achila. And nobody blinked about the fact that we were makdim on Shabbos of Erev Pesach, the Karban Tamid, by 1 hour, increasing the probability of Michmar Bisra, because, as we said before, there's no possibility of doing the Adochas HaKiraim, says Rashi, on Shabbos. It's not Docha Shabbos. So Tosfos is bothered by the fact that Rabbi Yishmael postpones the Tamid for an extra hour from Sheva Umechtza to Shmona Umechtza. Based on Michmar Bisra, to reduce the time period from the Shechitas HaPesach until the Tzliya, And the reason for that, says Rashi, is because there's a great statistical fear of Michmar Bisra because it's Shabbos, and on Shabbos there's no Hadochas Kiraim. Says the Tzlach, I'm going to give you an example where the Karbon is going to be brought at that same time, meaning the Talmid at Sheva Vachetzi, even though there should be a problem of Michmar Bisra. And the reason for that is because, as the Nodavi claims, even if Erev Pesach falls on a weekday, you're still going to bring the Karbon Tomin Shobin Abayim at Sheva Umechza, and the Tzlias HaBasar is not going to take place till the nightfall, going into beginning the 15th of Nisan, and within that large area of time, we should be afraid of Michmar Bisra. Now, in the case of Erev Pesach, Shechalios be Erev Shabbos, if Yudal Benisan is on a Friday, then the Tumid is Nishchat B'Sheshu Mechza. That's very early. And once again, there's no possibility of Hadochas Hakirayin, because, just one second, if it's on a Friday, so what are we going to do? In other words, that Friday is going to be the exception to the rule of postponing the Tzliya into the next day. In the case of Friday, it's Erev Shabbos, we cannot afford, there's no possibility of postponing the Tzliya to the next day. And therefore, since the Tzliya has to take place on that very Friday of Yudalid, we have to make sure that there's ample time, and we're going to, says the Mishnah, Shech the Korban Tomid at its earliest possible moment at Sheshu Mechza. But the implication is that as a general rule, the Tzliya took place the next night. The exception to that rule was on a Friday. Says the Nodav Yehuda, if the Tzliya, as a general rule, would take place the next night, why aren't we worried about Michmar Bisra? Now, in order to explain Rashi, he comes up with a very sophisticated structure. I'll give it a shot. I mean, I tried to work the mathematics out. I wasn't so successful, but let's do it together. He says that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah establishes later on Daf Samach Dalid, that there were three kitos, so to speak, three waves of Jews who came in to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Korban Pesach. In a case of Shabbos, where there's a real serious chashash, as Rashi, of Shema Yasriach, that the bus could be ruined, that Shema Yasriach only applies to the Kitos Harishonos. Right? We said that there was going to be a sequence, one after the other, various Kitos. When we have the first Kita coming in, they were makdim the shechita. They started and kicked off the program on Erev Pesach Pein Arbayim of shechitas haPesach. Is kevan she'enam yecholim litzlos on Shabbos? There's no possibility of tzliya. Yesh lochu shema yasriach habosa. Avol habosa shel katach rona. When we get up to the third round of the Makrive HaKarbon, Vare Lo Yasriach. That's already towards the end of the day. And even though they won't implement the Tzliya and roast the Karbon until it gets dark out, but it's Lo Nishchat Zman Meruba Kodem Lechen. It was just recently shechted if you're up to the third kat. Ubi Erev Pesach Shechal, Bi Erev Shabbos, so if the 14th of Nisan is on a Friday, we had to be makdim, we had to start the whole process earlier in order to guarantee that even the earliest kat would be able to achieve their tzliya, before nightfall, because after nightfall it's already Shabbos and there's no possibility of tzliya. Okay. Now, what I want to discuss with you is Akasha the Baal Amor. We said, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the reason why we're going to delay the Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim and ipso facto the Pesachim is to avoid Michmar Bisra. And therefore, we're going to shech the Tumid at 8.5 hours, Shmona Vachetz, against Rabbi Akiva, who has it at Sheva Vachetz. Frekta Balamor, I don't understand. Why are you delaying the Karban Tumid? Why not bring the Karban Tumid in its proper time and delay the Karban Pesach? Start the kickoff of Karban Pesach, according to Rabbi Shmuel, at Shmona Vemechza. But that doesn't mean that the Tumid has to be brought at Shmona Vemechza. There's nothing pressing me to bring the Karban Tumid at Shmona Vemechza. So he quotes Rabbi Moshe, I don't know who he is, and he says that the reason why they want to delay the Karban Tumid is because of an Nedarim and Nedavos. And we already saw how important the Nedarim and Nedavos is, because if Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, then what we want to do is we want to delay the Karban Pesach even on Shabbos where there's no Nedarim and Nedavos for the sake of Chol, had it been in Chol. So we see that we're very interested in guaranteeing that on the day of Chol they'll bring the Nedarim and Nedavos. So let's delay the Karban Tumid for the sake of Nedarim and Nedavos. That's the answer of Rabbi Moshe. The Baal Amor says that if they were to be makdim the Tumid, then Bnei Yisrael would push for Hakrovas HaPesach immediately, because there's such a volume of people who are bringing their Karban Pesach. And therefore, in order to guarantee that we avoid and circumvent the problem of Michmar Bisra and delay the Karban Pesach, we're going to delay the Tumid. All that is in the Baal Amor, but what I really wanted to share with you was the Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua says that the halacha is that the Karban Tumid needs the Karban Pesach immediately after the Tumid. If you can delay the Karban Pesach, you must, ipso facto, says the Pnei Yehoshua, delay the Tumid, because the Tumid needs the Pesach immediately afterwards. You cannot have this time gap between the Karban Tumid and the Karban Pesach. Why is that so? So he says, because the Tumid needs what's called Minachos and Nesachim. There's a mincha that's brought following the Tumid, and there are Nesachim, wine libations, that have to be implemented after the Tumid. The Torah says that in the case of Erev Pesach, we're allowed to delay and postpone the mincha and the Nesachim of the Torah and Tumid in order to facilitate the Karban Pesach, to allow the Karban Pesach to be brought. If you're now going to delay the Karban Pesach, then ipso facto you're going to delay the mincha and the Nesachim of the Karban Tumid. And the mincha and the Nesachim of the Karban Tumid on a regular day have to be implemented immediately after the Shechita and the Avodas HaKarban. Without any delay, we cannot allow for a hefsek that would wedge between the Tumid and its mincha and its Nesachim. We only do so because the Torah obligates us to bring the Karban Pesach. So that allows us to delay the mincha and the Nesachim of the Karban Tumid. However, to delay the Pesach means, by definition, to delay the mincha Nesachim. Is there for Mikar Dinner Yitzrichim Lakriv, Esa Minchav and Esa Sachim, Samach L'Tamid, immediately after the Tamid? And that's derived from a pasuk in Bamidbar Chavtes, Milvad Olas HaTamid U'Minchasav Niska. They therefore didn't have the time to play around and delay the Mincha Nesachim. The only avodos that they would perform after the Hakrovas HaTamid, before the Mincha Nesachim, is what's called Haktaras Haktores and Adlokas Aneros. But let's get back to Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, is going to allow us to set up a hefsek between the Hakrovas HaTamid and its Mincha Nesachim. Lekach ichru es hakorban tamid kedei lahasmich lo hakrovas haminchem nesachim shiu liachar haPesach. Beautiful, brilliant idea. If we delay the Pesach, then we are expanding the hefsek between the tamid and its mincha nesachim, and that we cannot allow. Hence, what we're going to do is, answering the Baal HaMor's objection, we're going to bring the Korban Tamid at a later hour, according to Rabbi Shmuel, at Shmona V'chetzi, even though we're only doing so in order to bring the Korban Pesach. And the Baal HaMor asks the obvious question, why not bring the Tamid early in its time and delay the Korban Pesach? What's the problem? Oh, okay, there's a problem, says Rabbi Moshe, because of Nedarim and Nedavos. And even though on this day of Shabbos, there are no Nedarim and Nedavos, but we have a Gzeirah to Chol. Alternatively, the people, says the Baal HaMor, will be pushing down the doors, the gates, in order to bring their Korban Pesach immediately after the Korban Tamid, and we'll have the problem of Michmar Bisra, because they're bringing the Pesach too early. But the real answer, I think, is the Pnei Yoshua's Chav, that the reason why we cannot separate the Korban Tamid to bring it at an earlier hour and delay the Korban Pesach because of Rabbi Shmuel's consideration of Michmar Bisra is because then you're going to be delaying the Mincha of the Tamid and the Nesachim of the Tamid, and we're only going to delay that in order to facilitate the Korban Pesach. But bring the Korban Pesach immediately after the Korban Tamid so that you don't increase and exacerbate the problem of a hefsek between the Korban and its Mincha and Nesach. Okay then, so let's make a note of where we get up to. We're up to the last line on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, V'Rabbi Akiva Sovar Lo Chai Shinon Lemichmar Bisra. And then it's Hashem, we'll pick up on Yom Rishon. So we're going to stop here on the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, Rabbi Akiva Sovar Lo Chai Shinon Lemichmar Bisra, and in verse 10 tomorrow, based on the Me'iri, we're going to try to analyze this machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about whether we should be choshesh for the spoilage of the basar if we start the process of hakrovas haPesach too early. And the Me'iri gives us a little bit of an insight into that machlokas.